This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
College basketball conference tournaments going on. Georgia Tech gets beat today by Duke. Cooper Flagg, Duke's star, hurts his ankle, leaves in the first half.
It looked bad.
It did, bro.
I mean, we were watching it when it happened live, and we're all like, uh-oh. And they wheel him out in a wheelchair to get the x-rays. But luckily, Carl, he does return. In sneakers.
Yeah, and Georgia Tech ultimately loses. They were up in the first half. But we're keeping tabs on what's going on. Obviously, Georgia lost already. And now Georgia Tech, after beating Virginia, loses to Duke today. But they started out really good. But, you know, I just have my reservations about Georgia and Mike White, Mike. I mean, I know, you know, losing in the SEC tournament is not the end-all of end-alls. But it also, you want to help your chances. I just thought they had to win at least a game. And they go up to Nashville, and now you're waiting to see how everything else turns out. There will be some surprise teams that are on the bubble, Mike, that might push Georgia out.
Now, I said to Carl, I mean, if the NCAA want to get cute, you could have Georgia play in for that 11 seed in the play-in game in Dayton. But Joe Lenardi still has him even today after losing to Oklahoma. He's got him 9 playing 8 Memphis. So we play Penny Hardaway's guys. So, but it just, you know, it's you don't make things hard on yourself, and you did. And I know that they feel that Mike White was, oh, no, we're good, we're in. You know, finishing 8-10 in your conference record, that certainly is a feather in your cap, and they finished one of the best teams in the league. Big win over Florida. But you know what? You never want to exit out the first game you play in the tournament up in Nashville.
Selection show is 6 o'clock on Sunday, and that's when the dogs will find out, just like everybody else. But, yeah, right now I just need to see what else happens around the country with some of these teams that are on the bubble. And again, some of the resumes, and this is what Mike and I are not doing right now because, again, we're waiting to see. Mm-hmm. But whose resume matches Georgia? And then by the end of their conference tournament, what looks better? Mike, if a team goes on a run that Georgia is possibly on the bubble with, and at the end of this weekend, their resume, they have 2 more wins over maybe ranked teams, you know, and they went on a run, you're letting them in over Georgia? Of course you are.
Right now, the last team in is North Kakalaka, taking on Wake. We're watching them on TV. First team out is Texas. Number one, of course, is Auburn. But as we said, Georgia.
Texas is playing A&M today. They're going to lose.
Yeah, and Georgia, as we said, they've got them as a 9 seed, taking on number 8 Memphis. But again, that's Lenardi is darn well, you know, like bulletproof with this stuff. But it would be interesting to see if there is some pushback from members of the committee about 13 SEC teams being in.
It's going to be a lot. Hey, 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We got a lot more to get to. Joe Patrick's on the way in less than 6 minutes. Stay right there. Let's talk some dogs. Mike, all this hype yesterday with the pro day. They going to draft a dog?
Well, I mean, look, if you wanted to send a message to your fan base, I mean, basically you brought an entire busload of executives to look at the Georgia Bulldogs. After years
of... Exit the bus, gentlemen!
I mean, I said, I didn't mean to, and by the way, for anyone who's listening in Flowery Branch, I know I'm always in hot water up there. I didn't mean to say that.
I wonder why.
I didn't mean to say that you were.
When you say things like this.
I hate Greg.
I never said that. I wonder why. Now,
when I said yesterday that they look like clowns getting out of the Volkswagen at the circus, I didn't mean they are clowns. I'm just comparing them to when you see the endless amount of clowns coming out
reference?
Of a small car at the circus. No, when you see like a lot of people getting out of a small vehicle.
So they don't have big red noses.
No. I said, knock, knock. You know, no, not saying that. Big feet.
Big shoes.
Perhaps it was a bad visual. That I know that's going to get back to them. But no, I was not inferring that the general manager and the executives were clowns.
What were you inferring?
No, I should have said they had a group discount. Like, that seemed like when everyone shows up at Elliot Gould's house at Ocean's 11.
Oh, good call.
Would you guys get a group discount?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good call. Okay. That's what it might have looked like yesterday when they got out.
But again, it's overkill. It's window dressing, but it's to give you, the fan, because some fans didn't realize, you know, I've been saying for years, you know, the amount of Georgia Bulldogs have been drafted by this franchise historically, going back to 1966. It's insane. You know, you'd think that, you know, in the old days, especially when you think of how it was in the 60s and 70s, how territorial teams were anyway,
sure,
and how they drafted.
That's true.
Then, you know, you used to have like 17 rounds. The laws of average would say, yes, you'd be able to perhaps have more Georgia Bulldogs. But then this most recent, like, what, 3-4 years, everybody looking at what the Eagles do. But other teams, you know, other good teams have put Georgia Bulldogs on their roster. We just, for some reason, it just never happened that way for the Falcons.
So they've never, I'm talking about the Falcons, and I'm going to read what Kirby
said.
And
we're talking the top picks. We're not talking sixth, seventh, fifth round. We're talking the top picks.
But since 1966, to your point.
Highest Falcon draft pick is Akeem Dent, third round.
Okay. They've never selected a first or second round player. That's what we're talking about. Okay. So it's not as if they've never had a dog. We know that's not true. But we're talking about investing high draft picks, and that's just something that hasn't happened. I got asked this question yesterday, matter of fact, last night at the arena with somebody that was listening to the show, and they said, so does this mean they're going to draft a dog? No. But here's the thing. I don't know where else they're going to send this many people to any other pro day.
Right.
Are they going to send this many people to the LSU pro day?
Alabama?
Are they going to send this many guys down to the Florida Pro Day? I'm just saying, I don't think you're going to see that. And, Mike, that makes you feel like, oh, wow, they're invested, so they're going to obviously probably take a dog. But I don't think we're going to see this kind of contingent anywhere else for the Falcons. They will have representation like everybody else. There'll be two or three guys, just like normal, at these Pro Days, not 15.
No, and as we talked about with Rusty Manziel, you know, you go back a couple of years, it just so happened that they were a little preoccupied looking for Deshaun Watson. So, I mean, and again, I still think that came from Arthur Blank. I still think, and I know that D-Led said no, it didn't, but he said that the reason we did two quarterbacks is Raheem wanted Kirk, and that obviously the coach and the general manager thought that, you know, Michael Penix was the guy. But either way, I think Arthur does. I will put that on Arthur Blank's shoulders, the Deshaun Watson thing, but that was kind of funny how you had nobody, you know, at least your top executive's not there 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, raised some flags.
That's when they were really good, right?
Well, they have been consistently good.
No, I mean like national championship.
Correctamundo.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you start talking about 3 years ago.
Well, I mean, again, maybe it's cheaper to get a flight to Montana than it is to drive over to Athens.
Well, I guess they found that out yesterday. Let's talk about what Kirby said, because he's setting the tone for the season. It's Dukes and Bale, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike asked about the spring. He said, I want to see the fire, the passion, the energy. I want to see who wants to be a good football player, who really cares about the game. You know what he's saying, right?
Right.
I don't care what your NIL is. And then he said it. They care more about the game. I want to see the guys that care more about the game than they do their NIL revenue streams. I mean, really, really, really care about the game. Kirby's right, but this is setting the tone. And if you don't think he said this to the guys before they hit the field in their first spring practice early this week, you're crazy. Because this is exactly why he sets his teams apart from other teams. It's not about, oh, such and such is making $3 or $4 or $5 million, whatever the number is. It's who has the fire, the passion, and the energy, Mike, to go out and practice the way we need to over the next 15 practices and then show me what you've got to make this team and be a starter. I love this. I don't know what Georgia's going to look like. My guess is they're going to still be really good. But to your point, you've been saying, are they going to be good up front? That I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we spoke with Seth Emerson. You know, there's no moves on the coaching staff. And we later found out that before last season began, Kentucky or somebody else was sniffing around Mike Bobo, so they gave him a bump up in his salary. But, you know, the offensive line has been – it was just an average offensive line. It wasn't a great offensive line. And you said it, their inability to be one of the top running teams. That's always been a Georgia calling card, regardless of what your quarterback does. Not having a balanced attack like we thought. Not utilizing Trevor Etienne. That kind of gets you into a little more play calling than execution. Either way, that's got to be better this year. You know, and that's one area where I think if you feel this correlation with not having as good coaching when it comes to your O-line, but Kirby would not sign off on that. You're going to hear his comments with Steak and Rusty coming up at 5:20.
I didn't ask Seth Emerson this, but I know that he discussed it in his article where he talked about the closeness between Bobo and Kirby. And I'm not for any reason saying that you don't make a decision based on what's best for the program. You know, if he needs to go, he goes. But when you hire really close friends, Mike, it makes it more difficult. And these guys are really close friends. They, you know, they've been, they played together. They coached together. Matter of fact, for those who don't know, Bobo's son is the center now of the Dogs. I mean, there's a lot going on for you to just say, well, just let him go. I'm not saying he wouldn't, but the relationship does matter.
Well, I mean, think about this. You got four starters from an offensive line that no one who was a Georgia fan would consider as one of the best offensive lines Georgia's had. So you got guys that are now stepping in this year that weren't good enough to beat the guys out who weren't that good last year. So that's the concern. Hope, I mean, like, guys grow and they get bigger and they hit the weights and everything else, and I get it, you can coach them up, but that's a concern. But all the things that you're talking about, everything you want to do, everybody wants, you know, Madden game, everybody wants, you know, they want to see the big passing, they want to see, you know, 400 yards of this and that. But it all starts in the trenches. If you can't protect Gunnar Stockton, you can't run the football for Frazier, you know, make those holes, then you're going to be grinding like you were last year at times.
404-726-0929. We'd love to hear from you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
About the Dogs as we continue to talk about spring ball and the pro day that went down yesterday. And you'll hear from Kirby Smart, as we mentioned, literally about an hour from now, coming up on the show, as Kirby stopped by the steakhouse today. But yeah, that relationship with Bobo, it goes back a long way.
Right. I mean, it's marrow deep, that relationship sounds like, doesn't it?
Yeah, man. I mean, he was tight with James Cooley as well, but he also...
Yeah, but Cole, I mean, I think even that just did not play out like it should have. Cooley, remember, that was a Sam Pittman, right? Wasn't that the package?
It deal? Was. Was right. It 1 year he was here?
Oh, that was Chaney. That was Chaney.
Chaney.
That was Chaney.
That's Chaney. Yeah, not Cooley. All right, we're coming back. We're going to talk to Joe Patrick about Falcons. Atlanta United has another big match.
And score some goals.
On the way. Yeah, that's part of the problem. We'll talk to Joe next. It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, Guy Talks on the way. Falcon Report, you do not want to miss it at 5 o'clock. But right now, our buddy Joe Patrick joins us. He covers the Falcons for 92.9 The Game, also covers Atlanta United. And Joe, Mike and I were just having a conversation about the dogs and how many Falcon representatives were up there for the pro day. I will pose this question to you. If you had a crystal ball right now, are you willing to say that the Falcons are going to draft one of these dogs potentially in the first round?
I kind of am. It's nothing about necessarily them coming from Georgia per se, other than the fact that Georgia is obviously a quality program that's going to produce quality players. And I think it's one of the reasons why, you know, there's a lot of gripes over the Falcons never picking Georgia players. And, I understand the gripe if you want one, you know, specifically in the first round. But for these Georgia players, a lot of them are so good that they're picked over by the time, if you don't want to go that way with your first pick, they're kind of, a lot of them are gone by the time, the picks are back to the Falcons, or the selection's a lot less, and then you just can't find those kind of need fits as easily. And so, but I think that, you know, in this case, there are clearly the need fits on top of the quality, and those quality players just happen to come from the University of Georgia. So I think it's no surprise that the Falcons had quite a large contingent of staffers up there, and those are the players I'm clearly looking at in the first round as being highly likely selections.
We've talked a lot about Jalen Walker probably already being drafted. Mykel Williams could be there. Malachi Starks likely and almost certainly there. And then, I mean, I know we never ever trade back, Joe. You think there's any chance that we would ever trade back in this draft?
I think that they would love to trade back, honestly. I think Terry Fontenot hinted at it in his end-of-season press conference as well. That feels like it was ages ago now, based on all the drama and everything that's happened since then. But I think at the time, even he said that they would definitely entertain that option. And what's funny is that they typically traded up under Terry Fontenot, especially using that in that second round, making it a more kind of high-quality selection. It's hard to see them doing that this year. They just can't afford it. They don't have the draft capital to be able to make those kinds of moves. And actually, it's the reverse. It's actually the reason why they would probably trade down, is because they need to acquire more picks in the middle of that draft, especially in a class that, you know, we are led to believe is so kind of heavy with talent in those kind of middle round areas, that, you know, there are maybe not as many quality first round picks in this year's draft, but there's maybe more of those second round caliber players than we tend to see that you can get in the third or maybe even the fourth round, get some quality players. So I'm sure the Falcons would love to pick up more picks in those rounds, so they're not just kind of picking at the very top and then at the very bottom of the draft.
Joe, how do you think they've prioritized free agency, and do you feel like they've done a good job in either retaining some of the guys that they retained or what they did?
Yeah, I think it's been a pretty prudent kind of free agency period for this team so far, where they've kind of covered their bases in a lot of areas. And it's not to say that I think that the team is, you know, necessarily better than they were before free agency, because when you lose players like Grady Jarrett, impact players, Drew Dolman, I mean, these are key players for this team that they haven't proven, guys on the roster currently haven't proven that they can fill in and replace those shoes. But having said that, I think that they have gone about it in a smart way, where they haven't spent a ton of money. They can still clear more money if they need to, if there's a, you know, something big on the horizon, like potentially something for Trey Hendrickson. But I think that what they've done is that they've just allowed themselves to go any which way they want in this draft. And obviously we know that the needs are on the defensive side of the football, but I think there are really intriguing cases to make for all three of those players that you just mentioned there, Carl, with, you know, Malachi Starks. I obviously have a need for a quality safety, same at the edge position. I think Mykel Williams specifically fits very well for what the Falcons will need, which is a true three down edge that can play the run and the pass. And then Jalen Walker, obviously, you know, is that kind of player who's very similar to Caden Ellis. I think you could imagine him fitting in a multitude of different ways and just being one of those kind of weapons that Jeff Ulbrich would love to have at his disposal. So I think that they've kind of left themselves in the perfect situation where they don't feel forced to go one way in this thing. Now, if it were up to me, I would like for them to attack that edge position. But I think that they've been smart in what they've done in free agency so far by allowing themselves room to operate however they see fit.
It's our man Smokin' Joe Patrick. That's not proprietary, Andy Randy. We can call him that too. George is here on the WadeFord.com hotline. A couple of guys more on the Falcons draft and more news on some signings today. One of the things I was talking about was depth on the O-line. They did keep Storm Norton, which is good to hear. Joe, we haven't scored any friggin' goals the last couple of matches. We love the firepower. Excited about Miggy. We love Saba. And we love, you know, Latte Lath and all these guys. What the heck, man? Why we can't put the thing in the bag?
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, especially last week in particular, when you're in a 0-0 game, a 0-0 game, and you're taking off, you know, a striker in Latte Lott, you're taking off some of your key attackers that you couldn't hope get you into that spot. But I think that it speaks to a couple things. One, Latte Lott went into concussion protocol after that game, so maybe there were some other concerns about him. Not that he had full clearance to go back into that game. I want to be clear about that. But I think that just generally, I mean, he was dealing with an injury before he came to Atlanta United, so maybe some fitness issues there. Obviously with Miguel Almiron as well, I don't know how familiar people are with his situation at Newcastle, but he really was not playing at all. So there is, I think, a fitness, build-up issue, and also just kind of a game flow issue, just kind of getting that feel of the game back, getting that rhythm back. And then obviously playing with new teammates, especially when so many of these guys, particularly in the attacking line, are new to each other. It's just going to take some time to gel. But the thing that makes me encouraged, guys, is the demeanor of Ronnie Dyla, the way that he speaks about the team, which is not always like roses and flowers. It is some harsh realities at times. And he was very critical of the team in his post-game press conference after the game this past weekend. So that actually encourages me that he's going to not be satisfied when he feels like this team is not performing to the level that they should. But it's still early days as well. So I think we have to take the broader picture is that there's still plenty of time for this to get right. But in the meantime, it's good to see a manager kind of holding especially his star players to account. I was actually talking to Derek Williams last week, and he was saying that, he has seen Ronnie Dyla kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of chew out star players. And I think that that is the kind of thing that you love to see out of a head coach. And I think that ultimately that's the kind of thing that gets the best out of every player on a roster.
Joe, what's the return of Brooks Lennon mean?
Yeah, it's going to be big for this team. I mean, they were really in a tough spot to start the season, missing both their fullbacks, Pedro Amador on the left side, Brooks Lennon missing on the right side. He separated his shoulder in that big dramatic playoff series against Miami last year, so he hasn't really been able to play much over the course of the offseason, having dealt with the shoulder. Now, the good thing is that with the issue being a shoulder, it's not going to be as impactful on the fitness. And I think that that's one of the reasons why now that he's come back and returned to full team training for the first time, he's probably going to be able to be available to start, because he has been able to do the running and all that hard stuff that you have to do during training camp to get your body ready. Fortunately, he's been able to do that. And so he's going to be, he's an attacking right back. And I think that what we've seen, despite the fact that the team has not scored goals yet since Pedro Amador has come into the team, I think that he really did open some things up, some different avenues, some different passages of the way that you can move the ball down the field on that left side. And I think that Brooks Lennon's going to do something very similar on that right side. I mean, Atlanta United has been using an academy right back that is getting his first professional starts of his career so far in these first three games. And it's nothing against Matt Edwards. I think he's done a great job. But when you insert a player with as much experience as Brooks Lennon has, I think you're obviously just going to get an upgrade there, and that's just going to make Atlanta more dangerous from the left side of the field to the right, which is going to help every single player.
All right, so to review, we know that they've been dealing with some issues on the back line that you talked about, not having the full complement, getting those guys back. But you feel that, I mean, this is always going to be a work in progress. I know we always kind of get up. Obviously, we get so excited because I went to that first match, and it was electric. Yeah. It was unbelievable. And it was everything I thought we were going to see on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that I think that the team has shown glimpses of what they were in that first game in each of these three games. They've also shown glimpses of like a bad version of Atlanta United in all three of the games. Like the second half of that first game was pretty brutal, to be perfectly honest, but they were able to get a goal and obviously win that one, which makes me feel better about it. But I think it's totally normal, honestly, for a new coach that's implementing new ideas. And honestly, I do think sometimes this stuff gets a little bit too in the weeds and maybe a little bit too narrative driven, but I really do think there is something kind of cultural that Ronnie Dyla has to kind of excavate from this team and kind of get rid of some of the, maybe it's been just a lack of urgency, I think, most of all. And that's, again, why I'm so excited, or I'm so pleased with what I hear from him and the kind of stern words that he has for the team. And I think that that's ultimately going to help them kind of get into gear and gel quicker. And I think that that's honestly what the players want, too. I think the players want someone who's going to be tough on them and kind of be driven to succeed. So I think that they are just kind of going through a teething period right now. I've got, you know, even MLS GMs were in The Athletic kind of saying that Atlante Law was one of the best signings, that they're due for great things, and Atlanta is going to be one of the teams to beat this season. So I know it's early, but I still think that this is going to be a potent attack and ultimately a very good Atlanta United team come the end of the season.
Joe, just before we let you go, have you requested to talk to Kirk Cousins? I know he's not talked to anybody. D-Led and Mark Raimondi, and you guys are up there every single day, and Mike and I go up there every week. I'm just curious. Like, to really set the record straight, right? He could easily just say, hey, Joe, you know, let's talk for 10 minutes. Am I right or wrong on this? But he hasn't done that with anybody, right?
Yeah, he could. I mean, I've not filed. I've not tried to contact him. The team can't, you know, it's not like I could even contact the team and request to talk to him, because he would have to do that on his own. And, you know, it is one of those things that is unfortunate that he has not been maybe more public and more just like honest with what he wants in the situation, because it's obviously driving everybody here nuts, myself included. And I know you guys as well. So I think we're all going to be happy when this is all behind us. But, you know, the unfortunate part is that the Falcons got to do what they think is best for them. And that, I think, unfortunately for the situation, means it's going to drag on for a little bit longer here.
Hmm. All right, Joe. Great job as always. Follow Joe and check him out. He covers the Falcons, covers Atlanta United, and for us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Cool. All right, Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, this time of year means it's the Players' Championship down in Ponte Vedra. We'll take a look at the leaderboard, because we also got some big news in college hoops. A scary moment for Duke, if you missed that story. And why Aaron Rodgers, kicking it on the beach, feels that one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. As long as there's a camera crew around to take a photo of him, we'll explain. When a play is play. Hey, man, we'll be talking more about the Falcons and some moves they made today.
Ready to tackle your debt?
No, not yet. But we will be talking about the Falcons at 5 o'clock.
Me neither.
And we'll be having some fun. You'll have fun coming out of your butt, Carl, with Guy Talk.
You betcha.
Damn it. Hey, man, a couple of things. I posted the video at Mike Bell ATL. You know, always follow us, guys. I am Mike Bell ATL. Carl is put him up, C. Dukes. Chris is at Chris Thomas Radio. Is that your...
C. Thomas Radio for all your complaints.
You're darn right he is. So
please send
them
there.
I just posted this clip. Formula One season. I'm a junkie for Formula One. I just binge watch Drive to Survive. It's great. They didn't have to manufacture storylines. There were storylines. You had that whole Christian Horner and the sexual harassment thing going on last year.
That went away.
Lewis moving to Ferrari and all the drama, and then teammates wrecking each other at Alpine. A lot of stuff going on. Anyway, I love F1. It starts Saturday night on ESPN. 13 hours ahead down in Melbourne, Australia, so it'll be late night Saturday night. If you're like me, you'll stay up and watch it. Reason I bring it up, Lewis Hamilton is just loving life in Ferrari. He's just having fun. I mean, I'm sure he could have done some fun stuff when he was with Mercedes, but I mean, everything from him dressed up like Enzo with the overcoat over the double-breasted suit, and you know, when he first arrived at Maranello, and you know, the videos are great. They got a video today of he and Charles Leclerc, brand new Ferrari F80. So I'm going to play the Mega Millions this weekend, Carl, and hopefully I'll win that car. But the other thing that Lewis did, took the time, and they did some CGI and had a blast with it. They reenacted the scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where Ferris and a company, they take the car, his buddy's car, to Chicago. And they, remember, that's the Ferrari California GT?
Sure.
Cameron, you know, and so he's, and they take it to the garage, and he's like, Matthew Broderick is like, it's no problem. I'll give him a $5 bill. It'll be fine. And then, of course, the guys that work in the parking garage take the California free. An unbelievable joyride and the famous shot of the car in the air with the Chicago skyline. John Hughes did that amazing shot. Well, Lewis Hamilton completely recreated. I showed it to Carl earlier. It is pretty cool.
I think the marketing behind getting him hyped up
right
for this upcoming season, and listen, it, to Mike's point, it doesn't need it.
Right.
But if you are not a casual fan or maybe you don't watch, it's giving people reason to get interested.
Right. Look, I think with Lewis, and real quick, if you're not a Formula One fan, it's kind of like this in NASCAR too. Guys make their way, you know, and they grind. Most guys in racing, in any division, you got to have rich parents, because the only way you can afford a car, or unless you get really a tremendous talent or somebody to come in as a sponsor, you got to have some parents with deep pockets. Lewis came up the hard way. Mm. His father being black in England and dealing with the racism and the class crap that they'd go through over there. He basically mortgaged his house to keep keep his son's career alive. And then Lewis, as a 9-year-old, tells Ron Dennis and McLaren, I'm going to race for you someday. And he does.
And he did.
And he wins a championship. And then goes on and wins, you know, six more. So, I mean, and then Lewis, you become on the top, like all these guys. Then you get to be a bit of a prima donna, pain in the butt. And then he doesn't win for a while like he used to. And now he's rootable again.
Well, he used to win so much, it became predictable.
Correct.
And it was boring.
Right.
Because you knew that Lewis is going to win. I'm excited about the upcoming season.
And to win his eighth title and to set the record in a Ferrari, that's just, everybody knows how hyped that'll be.
It'll be great.
So one real cool wrinkle to the video. So basically, Lewis plays the garage guy, and he's like, sir, I'm a professional. He drives off in the car. But if you didn't catch it in the video, the guy who's also working in the garage with Lewis Hamilton is actual Edward Norton.
That's crazy.
So when the car's jumping in the air, that's actually Edward Norton, you know, we had in studio a couple years back, famous actor in there with Lewis. I thought that was kind of neat. So season starts coming up.
Rounders was just on a couple nights ago.
I watch that every time it's on. And I don't know about you. Did you have a worm growing up? Did you have a guy like the Edward Norton character?
Of course.
Paulie.
Of course.
I had a friend, Paul. He used to live here in Atlanta. Paulie was my worm. He was the guy that he was your best friend, but yet he gave you nothing but aggravation and trouble.
Yeah. Now, listen, if you have a friend group, there's always that one.
Right.
You might have two, but there's always that yes. one that is like,
pay that man his money.
Yeah. You're like, man, I wish such and such called me. And you start having the conversations about who paid him, who owed him, who you know, sent him money. I mean, there's always he borrowed money from you. He just borrowed money from me.
And it was funny that you were in Vegas. You always go to Vegas for March Madness. It was you were on vacay. That was the weekend we had Edward Norton in studio.
Correct.
Because he was promoting the movie Motherless Brooklyn. It's about 40 minutes too long. You need to edit that thing and tighten that up. But anyway, I said to Ed, you couldn't call him Ed. It was Edward. But I said, everybody's got a worm. And he really nailed it, especially the New York version of that character. Haven't seen Rounders? For men, guys out there, you younger guys, that's your homework assignment. Go watch Rounders this week. You'll love it. If you don't love it, you get your money back. All right, man, are they ever going to get those astronauts back from the space station?
Aren't they still on hold up there?
Yeah, they were supposed to come back. And then the NASA SpaceX mission apparently says they got to postpone it. So the Falcon 9, that's one of Musk's deals, apparently had an issue and a hydraulic ground issue. They were supposed to be, they flew up in June, and they were supposed to be up there for like 8 days. Right, that was the plan. Right, when these guys got launched, I mean, think about this, guys. These guys have been up there all this time. And again, they've been up there since June. Think about that.
It's a long time.
It's now almost April or into March.
Yeah.
And so it's just been, and one thing after another, the Boeing thing crapped out. They couldn't get back on that. So could you imagine? It's like a 3-hour tour, or 8-day tour. Now you're up there for friggin' 9 months.
So what's the plan, Mike? When are they coming home?
Well, as soon as they get this hydraulic thing straightened out, we're going to get them out and then get them out of there. And there you have it. And, I got to imagine, silly question. I'm sure they have, like, deodorizer. The BO up on that thing's got to be terrible. At the
Can space you station. Even smell it, though?
Well, you're still, I mean, well, you're weightless, but, and I know, but, I mean, still, you know.
Does it smell, though, for, really?
Well, we talked, we had Buzz.
All that stuff goes in outer space.
We had Buzz Aldrin on the show, was it 20-some-odd years ago? And he said, yeah, it stinks. You smell, but it's, by 4 or 5 days in space, you smell.
I've never talked to an astronaut, so I don't know, but I'm just wondering if. At any point where you go, man, you stink.
According to Google AI, in space, due to lack of gravity in confined spaces, it can be a challenge to manage and can linger, sometimes described as a mix of antiseptic, garbage, and body odor.
Okay, that's a problem. That's a problem.
So basically, it smells like going to Flushing Meadows, Queens at low tide when you're up there in the International Space Station.
Yeah, all the things that we think about, like you'd be worried about in space, that's like the least thing I would think about. Man, we've been up here forever. This dude stinks.
But it gets to a point, Carl, that you're up there for so long that that's all you can think about is like...
You know what I mean?
It gets kind of funky up
here.
You're
waking up every day, you're like, man, this smell, I can't take it
in space, you can smell pretty awful.
Like the side of the moon is not cool anymore because it just smells so bad.
Correct. Right. By the way, we're going to have a... Is it the blue moon? What's it tonight?
It's red moon?
No, it's an eclipse that's happening tonight. I just saw something about it earlier today. But I think it's... Late night, like midnight to 3 a.m. or something of that nature tonight.
I just Googled blue moon. I got blue moon pizza here.
No. It's not the blue moon. I got the phrase.
It is a total lunar eclipse.
Lunar. Thank you. Total lunar.
It's a total eclipse of your heart, Carl.
Shout out Bonnie Tyler.
Thank you. Yes.
Hey, man. Speaking of music. Aaron Rodgers, all alone in so lonely in Malibu. You seen the pictures?
Oh, goodness.
Crank it up, Martin. Yes.
Is this where he's at?
Aaron's in Malibu. With a towel over him like a shawl.
Yeah.
With his headphones. Pondering the things that Aaron ponders when he's all alone. So
yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there.
Everybody and their uncle feels this is staged, and there's no way he just wanders off on the beach in Malibu without somebody down there with a telephoto, and he's in on it. You buying that?
No. I'm not either. Look, this is, it feels staged simply because he knows everybody's wondering what his decision's going to be.
Right. I got to feel that, when I told Chris, and I've had a few of the listeners hit me up, Anthony hit me up today, he said he got about two episodes into Aaron Rodgers' Enigma, and I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Netflix.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
By the way, it's a blood worm moon.
Blood worm moon?
That's what they're calling it.
Wow. Why don't you go to Bloody Mary moon?
Yes. That's why I couldn't remember. I was like, blue moon, blood worm moon. Tonight.
In a world of a blood worm.
And it's,
moon.
It is a total lunar
sounds
eclipse.
Ominous, man.
Yeah. But that's what they're calling it. Yeah, no, that's why I couldn't remember. All right. But Mike, this is so over the top.
That's Aaron. That's what he does. Yes. Hey, man. Southwest Airlines, some are saying they overreached on this one. Everyone knows if with Southwest, we're all fly Delta jets, but if you fly Southwest, bags fly for free. They are starting to modify some of the charges for a checked bag. So they basically made the announcement and they said, hey, it's not the worst thing. It's not like we traded Luka Doncic. And some people are saying they missed the beat on that one. They missed the note with certainly with Mavericks fans in the Dallas area.
Yeah, look, I'm surprised that they haven't charged at this point. It's been this way for years. It's a huge revenue stream, Mike,
right,
to charge for the bags. And it's always been a benefit. The disadvantage with Southwest has always been what? The boarding process, right? I think if you get there and, you know, it's first come, first serve kind of deal.
You can pay for the premium so you can get when the first dude's on the plane.
But that's been the, like, when you're boarding the plane. The bags, they're about to make up the revenue that they've maybe lost in previous years. I hate it, though, because that was the cool thing about flying Southwest. I think it was two bags, if I remember correctly.
Right. It says starting May 28th of this year, we will continue to offer two free checked bags.
Two, yeah.
That's for A-list preferred members, so there will be some people who have to pay.
Okay.
But as they said on their Twitter pages, it's not like we traded Luka, and people are saying, whoever the marketing campaign was, want to get away? whoever the ad agency. Those ads are funny, by the way.
They are
pretty funny. Hey, man, the Rays owner, Stuart Sternberg, apparently is not going to be building a new stadium on the site of Tropicana Field.
Why?
Because he's too friggin' cheap. I looked it up. It's only 20.6 miles from Raymond James Stadium to Tropicana Field. And if you've ever been in St. Pete, sometimes I can take 45 minutes to an hour. Traffic on the bridges. And I was just down there for the Grand Prix of the IndyCar race. I told Carl how great the neighborhood is. There really is a cool neighborhood. It's almost like Little Five Points and kind of like Midtown, kind of moving, keeps moving further west off of like downtown St. Pete. So if you did something like the Battery, you'd be printing money. And maybe folks in Tampa would be willing to drive over for it. But everyone still feels the population center is closer to the I-475 corridor. That's why.
It is.
And then the other thing is, the Nashville team, some guys are saying, just please, let's get an expansion team. They're going to name it the Nashville Stars.
Baseball,
they have a proposal.
Right? Yeah. Baseball.
I don't think the Braves would be very happy about that. But baseball, I mean, to me, the most logical move is the Rays moving to Nashville. One other wrinkle to the Tampa Bay Rays situation, apparently Eddie DeBartolo Jr., the former 49ers owner, is going to put an investment group together and maybe look at buying the Rays.
Well, we know he's not cheap.
Right.
He's willing to at least spend and invest in his history of being in sports ownership. Look, the best thing for them is to get someone, whether it's DeBartolo or somebody. They need new ownership with a new vision, Mike.
Right.
And this battle that's been ongoing, I mean, you told me, and I've not seen Tropicana since the hurricane came through, but it's a disaster.
And they're
playing in the minor league stadium. It's they've got to get this fixed. And here's the deal with baseball. We've said this. Everybody talks about expansion. Baseball should be retracting teams because of this kind of stuff that's going on.
Right.
The Rays guys, the product itself, they've had some really good teams. But, Mike, until they figure out this stadium situation, it's very much like the A's. A's are going to make a killing in Vegas. The Rays need to figure out where they want to go.
But it's just they need another owner. I mean, this guy is cheap. He's had like literally 11th hour deals that he's pulled away from where the city has bent over backwards in the state. Taxpayers down there, you know, those retirees don't want to cough it up, and rightly so. But think about it. You've got an idiot owner with the A's, and you were just in Vegas too. They're screwing everything up 7 ways to Sunday with that deal, alienating the county, the state. the city in Vegas, but you got an absentee landlord who runs the Marlins and one who owns the Rays. You're right. Contraction would be better than expansion. Hey, man, one last nugget. Speaking of baseball, did you see what this Cubs Suzuki guy has been doing for practice down in spring training?
No.
It's pretty neat. He is now, for practice, and apparently Sadahara Oh, home run king of Japanese baseball, used to do this. He has basically got a samurai sword, a katana, and he is slicing baseballs in half as they're coming at home plate. Or, and you can Google it and check it out. Some people are saying, no way, bro. It's AI. It's not even real, bro. But the Cubs say, no, they're not saying they're monkeying around with this. Saya Suzuki. Imagine if Harry Carey was still alive. Hey, Steve, did you know that Suzuki practices with a samurai sword? He cuts baseballs in half. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Hey, man, and real quick before we jet, we got the TPC going down. Remember, they moved it up ahead of the Masters. It's been like the last couple of years. It is Lucas Glover at 6-under. He finishes round today. And some of the names that you recognize, guys. How about this? Camilo Vijegas, did you know he's even still golfing?
No.
I didn't know he's still on tour. Cat's at 4-under right now. I know you were looking at McIntyre and some of the other usual suspects are in the mix. It's early days right now.
Yeah, I was watching to see if Scottie Scheffler was going to make a move. What's going on with Scottie Scheffler? He's been all right today, but him and Rory were playing together, so I was kind of checking that out a little bit earlier. It's going to be an interesting tournament, and Sunday, weather's supposed to play a role, Mike, so I think Sunday rain and some other things are going to happen.
And by the way, guys, stay with 92.9 The Game all this week. We'll give you updates on the Players Championship. It's brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, by Humberto Injury Law, when it's game time and winning is the only option, and by the Georgia Hemp Company. Come check out our brand new locations. You know how I love the Georgia Hemp Company, Carl.
Oh, I do.
It's all on your home of major championship golf in the A at Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
All right, guys, coming up, Falcon Reports on the way. You can see this Bloodworm Moon tonight.
Bloodworm Moon?
Yeah. 2:26 a.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
Is when it will be available. Now, the problem is the storm system's coming.
Right.
From Alabama area.
It'll be pretty funky, they say, over the weekend.
Yeah. And so, I don't know if we'll have cloud cover or not, but that's the deal. It's like 2:26 a.m. to like 5 in the morning if you want to check it out. All right, we're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.